Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I talk a lot about living with passion. Passion, of course, means to be celebrative, to have energy, and you can have that. I want you to have that in your marriages, in your single life, in your vocations. But passion also means developing your relationship with God. That has to be number one. And because we're on a journey in life, because we're moving, we need to move and to change and to grow and to mature and to progress, to become people of virtue, to realize our potential, to turn away from sin, and to grow as a human being. That's what it means to live with passion. We're going to go now to some recorded live preaching north of New Orleans, Abita Springs. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it inspires you to live with passion. I heard a story about, this young girl, she's about 7 years old. She goes up to her mother, she goes, it's the inevitable question. She says, "Mommy, where did I come from?" And the mother says, "Well, honey, long ago, God created Adam and Eve, and they had children, and eventually you came to be." So I guess she wasn't really satisfied with that answer, so she went over to her father in the other room, and she goes, "Daddy, where did I come from?" And the father says, "Well, honey, long ago there was a big explosion, and things just kind of evolved and happened, and eventually out of the sea came these creatures, and they evolved and things happened, and then finally chimpanzees and apes and monkeys came to be, and they had children and you came to be." I don't know if she was real happy with that answer either. She went back to her mother. She says, "Mom, I don't get this. You said we came from Adam and Eve and God, and Daddy said we came from monkeys. What's going on?" The mother says, "Well, honey, that's really easy. That's simple. I was talking about my side of the family, and he was talking about his." So anyway, it's good to see you all here. Some of you have your children with you, and that's nice, too. And speaking of that, I know that many of you are married with children, and I heard this story about these three men, and they were in a hospital maternity waiting room, and they're all waiting about news about their wives, you know, and that's probably one of the most stressful places you can ever be in, and all the pressure and everything, because they didn't know what was going to happen. So the three of them are sitting there, and they're all nervous. And then finally, the double doors barged open, and here comes the first nurse up to the first man, and she said, "Sir, you know, you're not going to believe this, but not only is your baby healthy, you just had twins." He goes, "Twins, that's beyond our wildest dreams, twins." And he jumps up and he's so happy and says, "You know, that's interesting. Must be a coincidence. I work for Twin City Insurance Company." Huh. They're all rejoicing and everything. All of a sudden, an expert nurse barges in, comes right up to the second man, says, "Sir, you're not going to believe this. You're going to be so happy about this. You are the proud father of triplets." He goes, "Triplets, triplets." And he jumps up and he's all happy and everything, starts handing out cigars and hot dog, you know. And this is a coincidence. I work for Tri-City Motors. Huh. They all look at the third guy. He's turning white as a ghost. He gets up and he starts running for the door. And they say, "Wait a minute, come back, where are you going?" He goes, "I got to get out of here, and I got to get out of here now." He said, "I work for 7-Up. It was Peter, James, and John that were taken to the mountaintop this weekend. And they were only three of the 12. And they were specially chosen by Jesus. They were handpicked by Jesus to come. And I really believe that out of all the people that I talked to and all the people that saw me on TV, you are the ones specially chosen and handpicked. God called you by name to be here tonight because he wants you to hear the good news. And I believe that over the course of this retreat, God will be moving in you and touching you. And you see, the scriptures tell us that God named you in your mother's womb. God was the one who had you in mind. He named your name, and he calls you by name. And you have to understand that God is the one who created you. Well, I was talking about that one time in Folsom, California. I was talking about names and how God has given us our name. He calls us by name, and we are people of dignity. And Folsom, of course, is the place where they have the prison, Folsom Prison. Unbeknownst to me, a man came up to me later, and unbeknownst to me, he had just gotten out of prison. And he said, Father, he said, I got to thank you for what you said tonight. And I'm thinking he loved my sermon, you know, the whole thing about... And I said, was it the sermon? Did that touch you? And he said, no, it's what you said beforehand about being called by name. He said, for the last 5 years of my life, I've been a number, and they treat you like a number. And really, what you did for me tonight is help me to realize my dignity and that I'm not a number, I'm a name. And so are you. You're not a number. You're a name. God knows you by name, and he's got your number. And he called you here, and he invited you here. And I hope tonight will be a blessing for you. I just wanted to let you know that I am a passionist religious. I think you know this. I was telling the folks last week in Mandeville that this particular habit that I'm wearing is the second week I've worn it because it's brand new. Just got it made, tailor-made. And in fact, I got it made at a bridal shop. And, you know, where do you get these things made nowadays? They used to do it themselves, you know, the monks and everything, but I don't know how to do it. So anyway, I went to a bridal shop, and at first, you know, you probably can't see it because of the lights, but I had a real long train. It's like, wait a minute, time out. That's not going to work. We got to kind of hem that thing up a little bit, but it's still a little long in the back, but that's okay, you know, whatever. So anyway, I'm a passionist, and we have a dedication. I'll talk a little bit about it tonight, but we have a dedication to the Passion. That looks like one of our old mission crosses that we used to carry with us, the Passionist missionaries. I stand in a tradition of missionaries who have been preaching for hundreds of years. The Passionists were founded in the 1700s in Italy by a man named St. Paul of the Cross. I'll talk a little bit about him. But anyway, preaching missions and retreats, talking about the Passion of Jesus, his wonderful sufferings for us, meditating on the Passion. I was telling the folks this morning that the cross speaks to us. It'll speak to you. St. Francis of Assisi heard God calling him to preach by meditating on a crucifix. So the cross speaks to us. And just to let you know, on my heart here, you'll see that I have what we call a sign. It's not a badge, it's a sign. Remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus did signs. His first sign was at Cana when he changed water into wine. But the ultimate sign of God's love was the Passion. So this sign, and inside the heart, you'll see inside the heart are three words, and they're the Passion of Jesus Christ. That's our first vow, is to meditate on the Passion of Jesus and proclaim his love to all the world. And so we Passionists do that. I'm not the only Passionist preaching right now. My friends are preaching in Texas and other places right at this very moment. There's missions going on. Redemptorists are preaching. Franciscans are preaching. Jesuits are preaching at this very moment. As you're on your retreat, on your mission during this time of Lent, there are others, hundreds of missions all around the country going on. Jesuits and Franciscans and Dominicans. Of course, the Passionists are the best ones. But anyway, so there's all kinds of different retreats going on. So it's kind of nice to know that as we gather here tonight, it's not just us. There's thousands of people on retreat. Really, the whole church is on retreat. That's what Lent is all about. It's a retreat. But before I get into the preaching, I just wanted to let you know we also have sisters. We have Passionist nuns, and they wear the same habit. We have this same black habit and the Passionist sign. And I just wanted to tell you about one of them that was working hospice, you know, with the sick and the dying. And one time she was going to the hospital, and as she was on the way to the hospital, she ran out of gas. And she said, what am I going to do, you know? And, oh, she thought she had just passed the gas station. She said, I'll go back there and get some gas. So she went back there, and the owner said, well, sister, welcome. And we're good to have you and glad to have you. We have plenty of gas. The only problem is We just ran out of our last container, and we have nothing to put it in. So she thought for a minute, and then she decided that she went back to her car, and she popped her trunk. She remembered that in her trunk she had a bedpan. So she took it back to the gas station, and they filled it full of gas. And then she went back to the car, and then she started to pour it into the gas, you know, into the cap there, you know, the little place where you pour it in. And she's pouring it in. Well, two innocent bystanders just happened to be standing there. And they saw this nun in full habit pouring the contents of a bedpan into the car. And one said to the other, "If that car starts, I'm becoming Catholic." So anyway, I think part of the purpose of a mission or a retreat is to help you to be started. And, you know, sometimes your engine can kind of be shut off, or you feel like, you know, you need a jump start or something. Well, I hope that that will help you tonight, that this mission will be a time of renewal and rejuvenation, a time of blessing for you. This is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I heard this story in the seminary, and I really love it. Somebody preached it one time, and I grabbed a hold of it because I think it's so true. It's a story about this man who took an egg out of an eagle's nest, and he took it, and he brought it into the barnyard and put it into the chicken coop, and he put it in with all the chicken eggs. And so what happened was all the little chicks and the little eaglet hatched together, all the eggs hatched together, and they all kind of grew up together. Now remember, the little eaglet was an eagle, but he didn't know it. He was among all the chickens. So all the eggs hatched, and they walked around, and the little eaglet, you know, looked at all the chicks, and he figured, you know, he was a chicken too, because that's the way he was growing up. So what he did is he walked like a chicken, and he talked like a chicken, and he ate like a chicken. But all the while, he was an eagle. He just didn't know it. Well, as he started to grow and started to mature a little bit, he continued in the barnyard, you know, with his antics of being a chick. And then one day he looked up, and he could hardly believe his eyes. There was this beautiful eagle soaring up above, and it was very majestic and very beautiful to look at, very excellent and exquisite in its course. And he thought to himself, "Wow, would I like to be like that eagle?" But as he looked around at all the chickens, he said, "Well, that's never going to happen because I'm just a chicken." So he continued to walk like a chicken and talk like a chicken and eat like a chicken. And he continued to grow. Then one day, as he reached adolescence, this great storm came into the barnyard. It was a gale. It was like a hurricane. And I mean, the storm winds blew. And I mean, everything, the chicken coop started going and flapping and everything. And the chickens started running for cover and flapping their wings and trying to hide and everything. But all of a sudden, instinct took over in this little eagle. And as that storm hit, and the storm winds hit him, he stood his ground. And he looked at the storm. And he didn't run. And then as the winds continued to hit, it forced open his wings, and he started to elevate. And he started to get really afraid. And instinct took over again, and he started to exercise his wings. And as he did, with the storm winds blowing and the wind underneath his wing, he started going even higher. And yes, he was afraid, but instinct took over, and he kept flapping and kept exercising his wings and went higher and higher. And then as he looked down from way up there in the thermal currents, he had a gracious realization that after all, he wasn't a chicken, he was an eagle. He discovered who he really was, and notice what it was that made him discover it. It was the storm. It was the wind. It was the trials, and it was the hardship that made him go higher. And he had this gracious realization that after all, he wasn't a chicken, and he wasn't meant to live in that barnyard pecking around. He was a gracious eagle, and he was meant to soar and to be majestic. That was the destiny of his life. I think, you know, it's a very easy story to understand, and we can make that allusion toward ourselves. It's very symbolic. The fact is that, you know, maybe you kind of grew up around people that were negative and harsh and angry and bitter, and I call them the chickens of life. You know, they kind of peck around and they don't really do anything with their life. They never really achieve anything. They don't have much virtue. A lot of them are doubters, and, you know, they don't really go to church, or they don't believe much in God. And, you know, maybe you grew up with people like that, but the truth is that we're not chickens, we are eagles. And I can tell you that because the Spirit of God lives in you. What we have to do is try to realize our dignity and who we really are as Christians. Because we've been baptized into Christ, we believe in Him, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, we are different from the rest of the world. And because God lives in us, there's something powerful, and there's something positive, and there's someone beautiful living within us. We just simply have to discover this, and we have to realize who we truly are. And I want you to get in touch with that tonight as we begin our retreat, our time of retreat in the evenings, that within you lives the Spirit of the living God. And you are not, maybe you grew up looking at everybody and, you know, you thought that, well, I'm probably kind of similar to my brothers and sisters, or maybe just like them, or like my neighbors, or like my family or something. Well, whatever they were like, I want you to know that you can rise above, that God is within you, and that you are meant to be an eagle. And you are an eagle. And as I look out at some of you are bald eagles. Have you been watching my shows? Well, anyway, you know, eagles, of course, are the great symbol of our country. Bald eagles are the symbol of our country. If you look at on the post trucks, the post office trucks, you know, when they drive around, you know, neither rain nor wind nor snow stops them. And what do they have on the side of the truck? They have an eagle. I'm a golfer, and I love to play golf. A couple months ago, I got a hole-in-one. It was my second hole-in-one, and I'm really happy about that. I never thought I'd get another one, but I finally did. And another word for a hole-in-one is an ace, and another word for it is an eagle. And then, of course, I remember growing up, I used to listen to rock and roll, and I still do a little bit. And one of the groups that were out there, they sang songs like Hotel California and Tequila Sunrise and Desperado and all these different songs. I don't think they would have went very far if they were called the Chickens. But of course, as you know, they were called the Eagles. And they were a number one group for many years. See, eagles are majestic. Eagles get it done. And I think in the spiritual life, what you need to understand is that you have beauty within you. You have excellence. You have this exquisite spirit within you. You just have to realize it and get in touch with your dignity. And that translates into behavior and action and attitude and disposition. That's what eagles are. They are excellent. So let me try to break that open for you. I told you a little bit about names in the warm-up. Some of you have been wondering a little bit about my name and where it came from and, you know, how do you even pronounce it? Every time I go into a parish, people have trouble even pronouncing my name, and never mind the nationality. But they're trying to understand, you know, Father, where do you come from? and how do you pronounce your name? Some people call me Eric or Frederick or Serdic. And, well, actually, it's Cedric. That's my first name. My last name is Pizania. Sounds like something you might like to eat, maybe. Lasagna, Pizania. Well, it's close. And it is Italian. My dad, of all things, my dad was 100% Italian. His parents came from Italy, settled in Massachusetts, and so I'm Italian, but I'm only half Italian. See, on my mom's side, she's Czechoslovakian and Albanian. So what do you get? You know, you take a bowl and get a little mixture here, and you pour an Italian to start, and sprinkle in a little Czechoslovakian, little Albanian, you mix it up, and this is what you get. So you're laughing, but you're a mixture too, so don't laugh at me. But anyway, so the first name, Cedric, people say, well, where did you get that name, Cedric? Is there a Saint Cedric? And I say, well, not yet, but there's one in the making here. So, but anyway, my dad's name in Italian, and I'm a junior, my dad's name was Chisidio Pisegna. So they wanted to give him a name that was pretty close to Chisidio, the English equivalent. Well, Cedric Chisidio, well, it's about the closest they could find. So that's how I got my name. I'm a junior. And of all things, you know, my dad had a middle name. With a name like Chisidio Pisegna, what do you think his middle name was, believe it or not? It was John. He was born on the feast day of John the Baptist, June 24th. So I tell you this just so you'll know a little bit. It's called characterization, so you know a little bit about me. And as I said in the intro, in the warm-up, God has called you by name. And those of you who are watching by TV, I don't think you just happen to find the program. I think God's calling you by name to watch this program, because you need to discover who you are and that you're not a chicken. Maybe you're living in the midst of a chicken coop, but you're not. You can feel deep within that God wants you to rise higher. And God's calling you by name. He's handpicking you. He's especially choosing you to go higher and to live in Christ and to realize who you are. So we've all been called. God has given us this name. It's a gift, and we should rejoice in our ethnicity, in the name that God has given us, and realize our dignity. Well, I remember, you know, I was back in about 8 years ago, I was studying in Rome, and my mother was with me. And remember, she's Czech and Albanian, and she came over to visit me when I was studying over there. And it was right at that time when Mother Teresa was beatified. Beatification is the last step before canonization. Beatification is when we pronounce Mother Teresa blessed. In canonization, she's pronounced a saint. That hasn't happened yet. So anyway, it was 8 years ago, and there's my mother with me. And remember now, Mom's Albanian. Do you remember the nationality of Mother Teresa? She's Albanian. So my mother's in seventh heaven. You know, this is the big canonization. And I remember we were at St. Peter's. There must have been 500,000 people there, right in the square, right outside, for this beatification ceremony. People everywhere, from all over the world, to venerate this woman, Mother Teresa. And I was there, of course, and I was looking. If you've ever been to a beatification ceremony, at the vestibule right outside St. Peter's Basilica, and we were all outside, they hang an image of the person being beatified or canonized, in this case, Mother Teresa. They hang it, a linen image on a big cloth, and here's this woman. We've all seen what she looks like. You know, she's about 5 feet, maybe, tall and kind of hunched over and very wrinkled face. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm looking at that image and thinking of all the people, and I mean, there were people everywhere. You know, I grew up in our culture. I grew up in the United States, and I'm very familiar with what our culture aggrandizes. For example, sports and movie stars and rock stars and the youth. This is what we aggrandize, and this is what people go after, because that's attractive, and that's what everybody wants. And here's 500,000 or more people in front of this woman who's all hunched over with all these wrinkles. And why is that? Why were we all venerating her? Well, I was there because my mother made me go. No, I'm just kidding. I was there because I thought Mother Teresa was one of the most beautiful people who ever lived. We all know what she did, how she reached out to the poor of India, and how she made a difference in their lives, and how she touched people, raised up the Sisters of Charity, and how dedicated to God she was. And so we were all there to celebrate and to venerate, really, to me, an eagle in our midst. And people who reach out and make a difference and who touch others are eagles. I remember I read a book by Mother Teresa one time. It was called One Heart Full of Love. And she talked about love. And this is how she described it. She said, the beginning of love, what would you think the beginning of love is? Maybe self-surrender for somebody, or, you know, giving away a lot of your money. She said that the beginning of love is a smile. See, it's energy. It's giving life to somebody else. It's giving a part of yourself to somebody. And that's where love begins. And that's why we were there venerating her. Because, you know, when we're born, we start off way over here. If there was to be a spectrum, we start way over here. You know, when we come out of our mother's womb, wah, you know, we're crying and everything. And, you know, what we're saying is, pay attention to me. What about me? I have all these needs. Take care of me. This is how people start. This is how some people finish. They never really move anywhere. And I hope you're not married to a chicken. But anyway, these are the chickens of life. You know, they have that negative attitude. They're very selfish. But Mother Teresa, you know, made that real journey. And this is the meaning of life, to make the journey from selfishness to selflessness. And selflessness can be translated as loving people, giving to people, making a difference, being a servant. And speaking of a smile, I think about my dentist in Houston. My dentist in Houston, you know, he's a Catholic dentist. He goes on retreat at our retreat center in Houston. Very gracious man. He takes care of the 8 of us monks free of charge. Takes care of all of our dental work. Anything that we need done, he'll help us free of charge. And he's a very gracious man. Dr. Piazza, another Italiano. Well, anyway, I went to visit him one time, and he told me that we already knew this, that he was taking care of us, but he prays for his patients with his staff before he works on them. So, you know, what I'm saying is that whatever your vocation is, whatever your job is, you can bring God into it in a deep way and have God work through you to touch people. The purpose of our life as disciples of Jesus is to grow and to move and to go forward and to be transformed. And I hope you enjoyed the preaching. I want to tell you, I've got some resources to help you. One is called Kept in Christ. This book will help you to keep moving forward. Also, one of the books that I've written is called The Sacred Walk. And this book will help you in the journey to keep moving forward. I get letters and emails from all kinds of different people. And this comes from a partner of mine. And he said, may you continue to preach to all Christians. He said, you're one of a kind, fantastic. He said, I'm a Presbyterian. 3 Baptists watch the programs with me. 1 Lutheran, 2 Catholics. He said, you're an ecumenical preacher. And I really believe that. I'm on the church channel now, as well as other Catholic channels, secular stations. I'm trying to reach out to everybody with the gospel. And whenever you buy any of my resources, books, become a partner, give a donation to my ministry, whenever you do that, you help me to reach out around the world with Live with Passion. My goal is to help all people come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you help me? Will you become a partner? Will you buy some of my resources? I believe that if you do, it's going to inspire you. You'll sense the anointing of God blessing you, and I thank you in advance for your generosity. Don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.